Thank you. Matthew 28 and the verse 20, the final verse just of the book. We're going to take as our text. It's especially the final statement. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The words at the end of the verse, look at them carefully. Ponder them for a moment. Lo, I am with you always. There's no S on the end. Sometimes it's quoted as always. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Just to emphasize at the outset that in the 19th century, the continent of Africa was known as the Dark Continent. The reason for that was it was so full of false religion and superstition. One man that the Lord used especially to dispel that darkness was Dr. David Livingstone. David Livingstone was a Scotchman. He was born in Blantyre, near to the city of Glasgow. And he was born on the 19th day of March, 1813. So Friday past was the anniversary of his birth. He is one of the best known Christian missionaries. The question was asked, give us the name of a missionary that you know about. In many respects, in most cases, the first that would be mentioned would be David Livingstone. He's one of the best known Christian missionaries of all time. And it would be very profitable for us just for a few minutes this morning to remember David Livingstone, and especially the challenge of his life and labours. And that's what we'd like to do. Bring a missionary challenge from the life of Dr. David Livingstone. I want to mention, first of all, his salvation. Livingstone was brought up in a Christian home. What a blessing that is. David Livingstone described his parents as poor but pious. He said that great pains had been taken by his parents to teach him the gospel, and he'd often earnest thoughts about eternity. But it wasn't until his 20th year that he came to know Christ as his Savior. It was only then that he realized that he needed to apply the gospel personally to his own heart and to his own life. And brethren and sisters, maybe that fact will encourage you this morning. Perhaps you have a child or a loved one still out of Christ. Maybe they're in their teens or older, but they're still not saved, and you're concerned for their soul. Well, I want you to be encouraged today to know that David Livingstone was almost 20 years of age before he came to know Christ as a Savior. The Bible says, though it tarry, wait for it, for it shall surely come. Think of the exhortation of the Scriptures too. Wait on the Lord. So don't despair, brethren and sisters. Don't give up on the salvation of that loved one. Hold on to the Lord. Hold on in prayer. Wait on His time, and the Lord will be faithful and will answer your cries. Think as well not of only of his salvation. Think as well about David Livingstone's study. From he was a boy, Livingstone loved to study. But he didn't have the opportunity of studying that you and I have, the opportunity of going to school that we have here in this land and in the day in which we live. When David Livingstone was 10, some of the boys and girls in the service this morning, maybe that age, when David Livingstone was 10, he went to work. He went to work in a factory. And he went to work in the factory as a piercer. Very difficult, monotonous job, especially for a child. And here were the hours of work, men and women. 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. A 14-hour working day for a 10-year-old child. So just take that in. With some of his first wages, he decided he was going to buy a book. Do you know what book he bought, the first book? It was The Rudiments of Latin Imagine that. And he studied the language earnestly. He also attended night school. Now remember, he started work in the morning at 6, got home at 8. Well, the night school was from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And then sometimes he would study at home until midnight. In fact, his mother would often have to snatch the book from his hands in order to get him to go to bed. He was so keen to learn. He was doing his best with the little bit of time he had at the end of the day to use that time wisely for study. Later on, he studied medicine. He was doing that while he was still working at the mill. And what he would do, boys and girls, is he would set the book up on the spinning machine. By this time, he had been promoted at the mill. He was now a weaver. So he had set the book up on the spinning machine. And as he was working that great spinning machine, he would look at the book from time to time, catching sentence after sentence as he worked. So his circumstances weren't very easy as far as study was concerned, but he devoted himself to it. And then he qualified as a doctor when he was 27 years of age. Now that was a very hard life, very hard upbringing. But this is what David Livingstone said about life in the mill. He said it taught him two things especially. It taught him discipline, and it taught him perseverance. The Lord was preparing him, you see. He said those were great characteristics. Those were of great benefit to him whenever he went to live and labor in Africa. So his study. And men and women, boys and girls, young people too, David Livingstone sets us an example of how important study is for the Christian. Do you remember what Paul said to Timothy, the young man? Till I come, give attendance to reading. So I want to encourage you, exhort you, give attendance to reading. Paul also said to Timothy in his second letter, study to show thyself approved unto God. So I wonder, brethren and sisters, young people, are you obeying those commands? Do you use your spare time wisely, carefully, to read, to study, especially the scriptures, the things connected with the cause of the gospel? A third thing I'll mention is his speaking. David Livingstone's first attempt to preach ended in failure. He was standing before the congregation, and this is what he said, "Friends, I have forgotten all I had to say." And then he had to step from the pulpit ashamed and embarrassed. But among the congregation, among the listeners that day was Dr. Robert Moffat. Moffat was a missionary to Africa. He was home on furlough. He had a great influence in David Livingstone's life in future years. Moffat's daughter, Mary, became David Livingstone's wife. But Robert Moffat encouraged David Livingstone that day. He said to him, "Don't give up. Perhaps you could be a doctor instead of a preacher." And David Livingstone decided to be both. And men and women, maybe you have failed in your efforts to serve the Lord. Maybe that's true of someone here, a young person, somebody older. You failed in your first efforts to serve the Lord. The result is you've been discouraged, you've been disheartened. Do you remember what we learned from Jonah? That failure need not be final. You think of the words of Robert Moffat to young David Livingstone. Don't give up. And I want to say that to you today as a word of encouragement. I want to urge you to keep at the work, brethren and sisters. Paul said to the Corinthian church, we're always to be abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, listen to this carefully, as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever you do for the Lord, it's not in vain. It's not without profit. It's not wasted time. And it's not wasted energy. Can I say to you, brethren, maybe you know someone who has been discouraged or embarrassed by their faltering efforts. Maybe they need to be encouraged. Just what Moffat did to Livingstone that day. Maybe you could be a Barnabas. Maybe you could be an encourager to that young person or to that older person in their labors for the Lord. Fourth thing I'll mention is his service. After his conversion, David Livingstone said, "It is my desire to show my attachment to the cause of him who died for me, by henceforth devoting my life to his service. Can I ask you, will you do that today in the service? We sang the words at the beginning, take my life, let it be. Will you devote your life, whatever is left of it, to the service of Christ? At first, David Livingstone had a burden to go to China. He wanted to go and live and labor there to be a missionary. But the Lord closed the door on China because the Opium Wars broke out. And that meant that he couldn't get into the country, couldn't enter China to labor for the Lord. And then one day he was listening to a report by Robert Moffat. He brought a challenge for Africa. He brought the challenge of a need for workers, laborers for Africa. One of the things that Robert Moffat said was, there's a vast plain to the north. He's thinking of the mission station they had, looking out to the north from it. A vast plain to the north, where I've sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been. That's a famous missionary quote from Robert Moffat. David Livingstone never forgot it. All the days that he lived upon this earth, never forgot those words. They gave him a vision of a work to be done in Africa for God. And he went to Robert Moffat and he asked, will I do for Africa? And that day, David Livingstone surrendered himself to missionary service in the dark continent of Africa. Can I ask you, will you do the same? Dedicate your life to the Lord, maybe full-time missionary service. You think of the words of Joshua, the challenge that he brings. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. And that's the choice we all need to make. What will you do with your life? Who will you serve with your life upon this earth? The health, the strength, the talents, the time that God has given to you. The fifth thing I'll mention is the scriptures. Livingstone had been taught the Bible from he was a child. And he loved the Bible, loved it with all his heart. First and foremost, he went to Africa to proclaim it. But there was one verse, one scripture above all else, that was a help and an encouragement to David Livingstone in his labors. And that was the words of our text. Matthew 28, verse 20, part of the Great Commission. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. One night in particular, in January 1856, 16 years after arriving in the continent of Africa, what happened, men and women, was there was great danger. Great danger indeed. He was surrounded by hostile savages. Death stared him in the face. He feared that all his work, all his plans were going to be lost and destroyed. For the first time in all those years as a missionary, all those years in Africa, he thought of fleeing, but he prayed. And that's what to do, men and women, when there's times of great distress, times of trouble. He prayed, and he asked God to give him a word, give him a promise. And this is the verse that the Lord gave to him. Lo, I am with you always. After reading that promise, David Livingstone said, it is the promise of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor. So there's the end of it. That verse was a comfort in that hour of great need. And on other occasions too, it comforted his heart. For example, when his wife Mary died at just 41 years of age. So men and women, here's a promise for missionary work. But it's a promise too for every child of God. Think of it this morning. The Lord says to you, lo, I am with you always. So brethren and sisters, be assured today. Whatever you're facing in life, whatever you're passing through in life, whatever your circumstances are, however dark the way, however fearful you may be, here's what the Lord wants you to know. He's with you. He's at your side. And he never will forsake you. What a promise that is. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Sixth thing about Livingstone, his soul winning. David Livingstone did three great works in Africa. They were evangelism, exploration, and emancipation. He set the slaves free. Many today will focus just on two of those, his exploration and his emancipation. But primarily, David Livingstone in Africa was a soul winner. There are two souls in particular that David Livingstone won to Christ. The first he won with his lips, but the other he won with his life. And what a challenge that is, men and women. The man that he won with his lips or with his words was the African chief Seychelles. He became a Christian leader in 19th century Africa through the labors of David Livingstone. You see, the chief, after he got converted, he wanted to see the whole tribe converted. And he thought that David Livingstone was wasting his time speaking to the people. What the African chief wanted to do was get out the whips and whip the people to accept Christianity. That's normally what he had done in the past. When he wanted the tribe to do something, he would send the strong men round with the whips. But Livingstone persuaded the chief to let him speak. Let him preach to the people. And Seychelles was amazed, surprised to see that the people turned to Christ without the whips. The other man that I want to mention that Livingstone won to Christ was Henry Morton Stanley. Henry Morton Stanley was a journalist sent to Africa by the owner of the New York Herald, James Gordon Bennett. He sent Stanley to Africa to find David Livingstone. Way back in those days, at that time, nothing had been heard about David Livingstone by the outside world for at least 4.5 years. And when Henry Morton Stanley actually found Livingstone, and it was over 2 years later that he did, that's when he uttered those famous words, "Dr. Livingstone, I presume." Stanley had left London as an atheist, but he later testified that as he watched David Livingstone live among those people, as he watched his love and his care for those African people, he said, "I was converted to Christ as well." Just think of that, men and women. Livingstone's life had spoken to that atheist and brought him to the Savior. Peter speaks of husbands being won by the conversation of their wives. The word conversation there is to do with your behavior, your life, the way you live. That man and woman is soul winning on a very different level. Winning others to Christ by our life, by the way that we behave. What a challenge that is. So here's a vital task, winning souls to Christ. Reaching the lost at any cost. Willing to do that? Solomon said in the Proverbs, "He that winneth souls is wise." It's a wise way to live. Wise way to spend your time. Wise way to use your talents. Are you doing it, men and women? Just think of the question. When last did you engage in any soul winning? When last did you win a soul? Will you take time today, take time this week, to ask the Lord to give you souls, to use you in the winning of souls to the Master? The final thing I'll mention about David Livingstone is a sickness. Whenever Stanley found Livingstone, he was 58 years of age. Stanley said he looked 10 years younger. It's nice when people make that sort of comment about you, isn't it? But despite the fact that he looked 10 years younger, David Livingstone was not a well man. On a journey while near to Lake Bangweolo, in what is present-day Zambia, David Livingstone died. It was the first day of May 1873, when he was just 60 years of age. He was found dead in his hut, kneeling at his bedside. David Livingstone had spent his last moments in this world in communion with his Lord in prayer. What an example, what a challenge that is. It's interesting what they did after he died, because they cut out his heart and they buried his heart in that village under the tree. That was very fitting, of course, because what they were symbolizing or indicating there was David Livingstone's heart belonged to Africa. And that was the reality, men and women. Such was the love and the burden he had for that great continent. And then they dried out his body in the African sun. And afterwards, his two faithful servants carried his body over 1,000 miles to the port. And his body was brought back to Britain and then was buried in Westminster Abbey. Remember, there's a difference between Westminster Abbey and Westminster Cathedral. The cathedral's the Roman Catholic one. He was buried in the Abbey, which is the Protestant one. So David Livingstone died at 60 years of age. Wasn't an old man. There's a warning there for us all, brethren and sisters. No guarantee we'll live to be old. And the challenge to our hearts today is we need to work for Christ now, while we still have the opportunity so to do. Do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus? I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. The imperative of service for God. I must work. While we have still the time, men and women, while we still have the opportunity to do something in the service of the Master. So a missionary challenge from the life of Dr. David Livingstone. I'll say this just in closing. Think of this. Take it upon your heart for your prayers. This congregation of ours in Armagh has seen many called into the Lord's service. We rejoice in that. Remember, we have the missionary gallery here just as you go through the door onto the landing, just to remind us of those that have given their lives full-time in the service of the Master. I want to say to you today, let us pray that others still will hear that call from our midst. Let it not just be in the past that there are members of this church that surrendered their life to missionary work. Let us pray that it will be again many times in the future that there will be those called of God from these pews, from our families, our congregation, to give their lives to missionary work in some foreign land to bring to them the light of the gospel. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'll finish just with this hymn, a verse or two of it. It's one of my favourite missionary hymns. From Greenland's icy mountains, from India's coral strand, where Africa's sunny fountains, we've been thinking particularly of Africa today, where Africa's sunny fountains roll down their golden sand. From many an ancient river, from many a palmy plain, they call us to deliver their lands from error's chain. What though the spicy breezes blow soft o'er Ceylon's isles, Ceylon is now known as Sri Lanka. Some of the names of the countries of the earth have changed, even in the last 100 years or so, so keep that in mind. What though the spicy breezes blow soft o'er Ceylon's isle, though every prospect pleases and only man is vile, in vain, with lavish kindness, the gifts of God are strewn, the heathen in his blindness bows down to wood and stone. Can we, whose souls are lighted with wisdom from on high, can we to men benighted the lamp of life deny? Salvation, O salvation, the joyful sound proclaim till each remotest nation has learnt Messiah's name. May the Lord write these truths on all our hearts today. Let's just bow in closing prayer. Father, thank you for all we have considered today.